Been a long time. Shouldn't have left you without a decent pod to step to. Wait, I said that like I had an impediment. Without a decent pod to step to. Welcome to episode 77 of the David Ashley Podcast. I am your host, David Ashley. And today we're going to talk about Kenan Thompson and Chris Red from SNL. Interesting stuff. Chris Red is now dating Kenan's ex-wife. We're going to talk about Kanye and his bullshit. New pod alert. Went to a Ninth Wonder party and a wedding. I hung out more in this weekend than I have in a whole quarter. We're going to talk about some comments made by Joe Budden that's got everybody riled up. We're going to talk about Rachel Nichols and that perceived racial slight that happened to her a couple years ago. We're going to talk about Will Smith and emancipation. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, all right? Stay tuned. I want you back, listeners. I'm salty, and I'm going to tell you why. Let's get it. Hey, how y'all doing? How was your weekend? How was your Monday? Hope your Monday treated you unlike Mondays often do. Let's see. I had a great weekend, actually. Yeah. I mean, you know, y'all know I'm a homebody. I'm a hermit. But I knew that Ninth Wonder, shout out to Ninth Wonder. You know, Ninth Wonder has produced, he produced Soldier, just for a few. He produced Threats by Jay, you know what I'm saying, by Jay-Z. He produced a Soldier for Destiny's Child. He produced Honey for Erykah Badu. Ninth has produced a lot of stuff, started with the rap group. Little brother, yeah. And you know, man, it, you know, and then during the pandemic he started DJing. You know, D-Nice, right? D-Nice was end all be all during the pandemic, and man, about a year into it, maybe not even a year, my homegirl Rashida put me in. She was like, yo, you seen Ninth Wonder? And I didn't know Ninth DJed as well. So, man, I'm telling you, man, Ninth goes in, man. He does this thing, like, he does this thing where he'll start playing, like, yacht rock songs, just white music. Like, he called it the Catalina Wine Mixer music. and then his slow jam bag is crazy, too. And then he'll do, like, he'll also do like some sets where he'll, you know, maybe like a 10-minute set where he'll just be going through theme songs. Oh God, it's great, man. He so anyway, Ninth was out here in LA. Man, when I tell you, listen, man, I caught a cramp, man. When the last time I ain't caught a cramp in years. But I mean, that's really because I don't be, you know what I'm saying, working out like I'm supposed to. But you know, lack of water, alcohol consumption, you know, you drying yourself out. So, man, it was a great time, man. Ain't nothing like when you hear what smells like Teen Spirit and a group of black people. Like, that's the one time we could do some white shit and not be, you know what I'm saying, judged for it. Where we are now, entertainers. Man, great time, man. I had somebody tell me, maybe that's what I had to do. I had somebody tell me that. So I posted video of me and a group of people, all transplants, by the way, singing Ain't No Fun. And the caption that I had above it was that I was like, yo, this probably is the most I forgot what I said. Most people know this song, something like that. But it was something alluding to the fact that, you know, it's such a universal song. Because it's, one, it's the most obscene song toward women. Every woman that I know at 90% of parties I've been to knows every word. Right? So I had somebody tell me in the comments, in the DM, that it doesn't, she was just like, oh, in LA, people know it. I'm like, what are you talking about? First of all, I'm not from LA. Like, I'm not from LA, and she's not from LA. And the eight people in the video singing the song with me weren't from LA. Because also DJing that night was DJ Battlecat. Shout out to the legend. DJ Battlecat and Ninth Wonder. But it was Ninth Wonder's night. And he was like the draw, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Fast on T Lounge. Fast. And man, I'm going to tell you. I was like, wait. I guess she was trying to say that, oh, regionally, you know, every song doesn't hit. I'm like, I know that. I've been to college in Nashville, been to parties in Atlanta, Indianapolis, not so much on the East Coast. I think I went to one in Virginia once. Not Virginia, but Maryland. No, Virginia. But anyway, and you know, it was just like, what do you mean? It's not like it's not like they play Scrub the Ground, right? Scrub the Ground was, that's a very regional hit. Like, but Back That Ass Up, that's different. You know what I mean? And then especially once, and again, Chronic or whatever album that song was on, it sold, what, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million albums. Scrub the Ground did not. So it was like, come on, man. Like, that's where it as a person, I just have to be like, oh, that's what's up. Oh, that's what you think? Oh, that's what's up. But sometimes I feel personally challenged by wrong information. And I take it upon myself to try and correct somebody, but it ain't even about that. The person think what they think. You know, they said what they said. They wanted to zag. I know that I've heard Ain't No Fun in several states and several parties, and everybody was saying, I know that. But it's like, all right, Dave, you know. And I ain't really argue. I ain't go back and forth too much. I was just like, all right. I was like, yeah, that's what's up. Kept it moving, you know, after like one or two exchanges. But I just think it's funny how Ain't No Fun and Smells Like Teen Spirit can exist in the same party. Shout out the Ninth, man. Shout out the Ninth Wonder. Fast on T Lounge. Fast killed it. Man, so did you see the story where so Kenan Thompson of, you know, all that fame, the Kenan and Kel show, Mighty Ducks, Fat Albert, and SNL cast member for what is 15, 16 years now? The longest tenured person, you know, in the history of the show. So also on the show is, or was, because I think he just dropped out, Chris Redd. Chris Redd does, what is he popular for? Chris Redd was in the show Bust Down, which, you know, just had his first season. Anyway, Chris Redd is the other black guy on the show. It ain't but two. And so now Chris Redd and Kenan had his own show, the Kenan Thompson Show, Kenan, something like that. And he brought on Chris Redd on the show, right? Now, the show has since been canceled, you know, unfortunately. But and apparently Kenan Thompson and his wife have recently, you know, filed for divorce, wanted to do the divorce back in 2019, I guess, dragged their feet, and then the pandemic hit. So they held off. And now that they are divorced, Chris Redd is reportedly dating Kenan Thompson's ex-wife, who's a Latina. First of all, there's nothing, and apparently, reportedly, Kenan Thompson's cool with it. Listen here. Listen here, fam. If instant hands, do you hear me? And it ain't because I still love her, but it's like, yo, out of all the women in the world, my dog, you gonna go for my ex-wife and the mother of my children? Because there's nothing you can convince me about whether or not she's doing that out of spite, or at least entertaining it, right? There's nothing you could tell. I mean, that's like Laura Pippen and Marcus Jordan. If you know, it's an old story now, but first they were seen together, Marcus Jordan and Laura Pippen, Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, they were seen together somewhere, and it was like, oh, they're just friends, yada, yada, yada. But now they, you know, she's on his lap, they kissing. I'm just like, man, what is happening? Also, how ain't this some kind of like reverse Woody, you know what I'm saying, Woody Allen type of business, right? How ain't it that? But, right, because I don't even know how long Laura Pippen and, well, let me not say that, because I don't know how long Laura and Scottie were married, how long they were together, if it reached back to, you know, to the Bulls days. But damn, it damn near had to. They got a son that's 20-something. Right? I mean, shit, Bulls, the last season was 90. Well, that's 24. That's at least 24 years. Like, did she know Marcus Jordan when he was a kid? Anyway, that's whatever. I just think that's, so on one end, it's like, keep my daddy name out your mouth. Is I'm sure Marcus Jordan's sentiment, right? How else do you seek her out and start tapping? Because there's no way you can convince me that's not happening. And on the other end, Laura Pippen, it's like, Laura Pippen, it's like, why are you going to put your kids? Like, what you doing? There's no way that's not on purpose. There's no way that's not on purpose. It's zero. There's zero chance that, you know, but yeah, man, I just think it's fascinating how, yeah, man, instant hand. I got instant hands for Chris Redd. Ain't no cool, fam. And I brought you on my show. I probably vouched for you on SNL. I probably looked out for you and vouched for you on SNL. And you gonna my wife. Dog, my wife? You gonna say that in front of my wife and everything? And this the bad part about it. There are several bad parts about it, but it's like, dog, you know she only doing this for that. If you Chris Redd, you know what it is. So now I'm wondering if it's some internal beef for, you know, between Chris Redd and Kenan Thompson. Right? To make you okay with doing that. That's some shit Matt Barnes drove 90 miles about. You hear me? Oh, man. I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it. But anyway, yeah, man, instant hands. We got beef until y'all break up, and then for another 6 months to a year after y'all break up, we got beef. What you ever do no whack shit like that, man? That's weak, dog. I'm sorry. Your boy Kanye Tudor is at it again, man. You know? Nigga walking around wearing a White Lives shirt, a Black White Lives Matter shirt. Candace Owens wearing a black one. Anyway, it doesn't matter. and they're holding hands, and it's like, man, what? And again, like, I was to a point where, and I still understand, I still feel like I understand overall what he was trying to do. But you just don't align yourself with one, a person in Candace Owens who is, you know, was anti-Trump 16 months before the election. And is now, like, you know what I mean? She's strictly for a bag. Like, look at her background, man. Just read up on it. She's strictly for there for the bag. And everybody needs a brand, and you can never underestimate the most powerful drug known to man, which is fame. And really, like, the need to be relevant and the need to stay relevant, the need for relevance. But, man, yay. I just, this is more than think for yourself and free thought, right? You're aligning yourself with people who don't care about us, man, who don't care about our Black people, right? And the juxtaposition there is that while he's doing this, you know, he still has a school. He's still doing stuff for Black people, right? So I think it challenges our thought on a few levels. It's like, what's important, the words or the actions, right? And in this case, both. Don't align yourself with phrases and people who don't care about us. Right? I mean, white lives matter as a phrase is essentially, you know, violence toward Black people. Anyway, man, ain't going, you know, I mean, and I'm at a point, I mean, when Kanye first started doing this shit, I was at a point where I really couldn't listen to people, his music. Like, it made me feel a way. Right. And then by doing that, I understood why. And I guess I kind of already understood, but this gave more light to why people didn't, couldn't, won't. Don't listen to R. Kelly anymore, which I can, right? But for a short time, for Kanye, I was just like, I mean, for a time, I would say for about a year, man, I really couldn't listen to Kanye West music because I was such a fan of him, what he stood for. And some people may think, oh, what you thought he stood for. No, that Bush, George Bush doesn't like Black people. That was some real shit, he said. It was a real tense moment. Right, that wasn't an act, right? And listen, do I still think Kanye West cares about Black people? Yes. Do I think he's making grave mistakes in how he's going about it? Yes. Right? He does the interview with the Black woman, right, on Good Morning America, whatever it was. I'm sure he picked her. Right. I'm sure, you know, Coming to America probably was like, hey, you do that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sure Coming to America, Good Morning America, I'm sure it has something to do with it. But the shenanigans, man, it's just like, I shouldn't have even given him this much time, but I hate to see it. You know, one of the greatest minds and musicians in history, man. It's the greatest song makers. Kanye got 6 classics, man. You know, but, you know, he's on some other shit right now. And all you can do is pray for him, man. You know, and try to look at the 30,000 foot view. Let's see. Oh, my God. Will Smith's Emancipation is out. And I'm sorry, it's not out. The trailer is out. You know, I started reading some articles about it a couple days ago, and he just had a screening for it a few days ago for some folk in DC. And man, listen, first Will Smith was like, oh, you ain't gonna catch me on this accent wrong again. You ain't gonna catch me with the wrong accent again. The accent sounds authentic, you know. Oh, it's gritty. Antoine Fuqua directed it. So you know the grit is, you know it's gritty. You know, Antoine Fuqua directed Training Day, by the way. and a bunch of other shit, but I'm just letting you know what it is with Antoine Fuqua. You know? You know, who's married to Sunshine from Harlem Nights, right? Gold Star for Marcus from Boomerang. I say that because I couldn't. Lila Rashawn, my God. Listen, let me say this right quick. A slight departure. There was no woman in the history of women, okay, who looked better than Lila Rashawn in her prime. Let me say it like this. There was no woman in the history of women who was badder than Lila Rashawn in her prime. You could be as bad, but you couldn't be badder. You couldn't be more badder than Lila Rashawn in her prime. A beautiful woman still, but I'm just talking about a certain period where it was outrageous. Nah, you couldn't. So anyway, let's see. Yeah, Will was like, nah, I'm gonna get this right. I'm back out. And it's like, listen, man, for all you, and I don't think any of those people are listening to my podcast, but for all you, but what about Chris Rock and Will Smith needs to, man, shut, I'm respectful, man, disrespectfully, shut the fuck up. Like, really. That shit was 8 months ago. Two niggas got in a squabble over something the one nigga said about another nigga's wife in both they face. When the nigga had told the nigga before, I don't like that shit. Other than that, shut up. Right? That it happened. That's what it was. How many times in the hood we didn't see somebody get into it over something somebody said about somebody's relatives or something? The nigga squabbled. He fought. Either they get along to this day or they don't. But it's like, man, you ain't finna keep holding it. Man, fall back. Fall back. Chris Rock, all right. Shit. But yeah, man, Emancipation by Will Smith is by Apple. It's going to be in theaters and streaming December 11th or December 21st, something like that. But I can't wait to see it, man. Will Smith has said, this ain't a book about slavery, about being a slave. It's a book about freedom. I mean, a movie about freedom. So I can't wait. And if you don't remember, this is the story. I don't know if it's loose, how loosely based it is. Of, you ever see the picture of the man with his, you know, he's got all the lashes on his back. It's kind of grisly and gory to look at, but this is the story of him, that man's, you know, fight to freedom or survival or whatever, man. But go check out the trailer, judge for yourself. It's going to be crazy. It's just too bad that Will Smith did go up there and slap Chris Rock because he's got the 10-year ban for the Oscars. So if this movie goes to the Oscars, if they even vote for it, right? But if it goes to that, Will Smith can't be there. And on that front, they, you know, you're probably not going to vote for him, but at least you'll be voting for Antoine Fuqua, right? So, yeah. Let's see. I went to a wedding. So I went out Friday night, and then I went out to a wedding on Saturday afternoon, of which I was like an unofficial official MC for the wedding, if you will. It's my first time doing it, and I didn't know that I was going to be doing it because we had talked about it and I didn't hear anything else. But, you know, that should have been on. I mean, should have been on me, on both of us to kind of check in. But got there, got the mic. You know, it was cool. I felt like the DJ was trying to drown me out a little bit. Because the DJ helped me a little bit, you know what I mean? And just kind of saying, because I didn't, you know, like, I ain't prepared. That's like a performance. So you gotta prepare for a performance. So, it was cool, man. I had prepared like a joke that I didn't get a chance to say, because I think once I got called up, I was just like, oh man, I don't know what to do. But man, the house was beautiful. It was over there in, what's it called? Signal Hills, which is top five blackest, I'm sorry, top five richest black zip codes in America, by the way. Signal Hill and Ladera Heights. And man, first of all, the wedding was beautiful. The reception was beautiful. Music was on point. I just felt like my mic was a little lower than his. So sometimes when I was trying to like call the tables to eat, to come up and, you know what I'm saying, get their food or, you know, just make an announcement, people in the back couldn't hear me. Anyway, it was good, man. It was good. Good people got married. I was glad to have been a part of it. And man, it had this lavish backyard, just spacious backyard. Is it spatial? Spacious space area where then it had like a little deck that you step up, and then like a wooden deck, probably about 50 feet long. And the deck from one end to the other, it led to like the rooftop of another little man cave that was down a few stairs. So there was the yard, then there was a pool in the yard. And then there were some steps that lead you down to another yard, by the way. And with a like a little man cave situation. And then the deck that I was talking about leads to the rooftop of that man cave. And it was just, you know, just some, you know, in a black neighborhood. It's changing, but it's historically a black neighborhood. So it, you know, the views were amazing. Catfish was delicious. There was no catfish served here. But man, it was just another thing that, you know, you look forward to. You lock it in, a mental note. You know, this is something that I would want. I would be hosting there all the time. Like, I can't wait to get my own house and really, like, host for real. You know, I do look forward to that. And the whole thing, the whole family thing. Not the whole family thing. Like, I do want a family. I do want children. I do want to be married, and I want children, and I want, you know, to be able to, and I, you know, I will provide for the fam. I will help provide for the family. I ain't going to be on no macho bullshit. Even though that's what I'm trying to purge out of my system. But, you know, America made me that way, nigga. You know, shit. He said, you got to provide. You know what I'm saying? And I'm, you know, I'm working that out. You hear me? You heard me. So shout out to the beautiful couple. Thanks for letting me be a part of your day. Took a lot of pictures. We're not going to post until they do theirs. But yeah, man, a lot of shenanigans, man. If you look at my post, you'd be like, man, Dave, outside. I've been outside, man. Like Beyonce said, you say you outside, but you ain't that outside. Yo, I've been outside these last. went to a screening of, man, the group Chicago. So I've done several movies with this guy named Peter Pardini. He's a director. We've done, what, three projects together? And we were supposed to do a fourth, just didn't work out, just on some crazy shit. But shout out to Peter Pardini. He directed a second documentary on the group Chicago. On the group Chicago. Something just fell and I don't know what fell. And the group Chicago, if you don't know who they, everybody needs a little time away. I heard it's holding now. Hard for me to say I'm sorry. Right? Remember As Yet redid, but that's Chicago. And their name used to be Chicago Transit Authority, but they've been touring for, they said 58 years nonstop until the pandemic. And it was, you know, talked about how it was hard for them not to move around and the different people that dropped in and out of the group. You probably won't watch it, but go listen to some of their music, man. They, you know, yeah, they got some shit. If you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me. That's Chicago. Chicago got some shit, man. Go listen to some of their, you know, older albums, man. And so anyway, reunited with some of the cast of the last movie that we did called that I, you know, was in of his called called Black Cat. And anyway, you know, we're talking about doing something else pretty soon. Shout out to Peter Bardini and his wife. They're about to have a kid in November. No, January. So shout out to him. They made that jump to Austin, Texas and all that. So, you know, I get it. More bang for your buck out there. But yeah, man. Shout out to the wedding party, all the folk, all the crew at the wedding, man. It was good. Shout out another pod right quick. In the Pot, podcast by Bryce Fluellen. If you all remember, he was on a episode of What's Your Favorite Song? Chef Bryce, In the Pot by Chef Bryce. Check it out, man. He's gonna do an episode. He's gonna do two per week. One episode is gonna be where he interviews someone, then the other one is gonna just be a story from his life or a story that he heard along the way. Bryce is the executive director of minority ownership in a company called Every Table, and where they provide healthy meals, preferably in food deserts, but they're going to be reaching out and helping minorities own, you know, low interest loans, own their own business. So check that out. In the Pot, wherever you get your podcast. In the Pot by Chef Bryce. All right, check that out. Biggest mistake I made. Shouldn't have let you go. Instead of wondering, I should let you know, yeah. When I say love, I mean love, ain't no fucking shaming. That ain't your name, my last name ain't in it. This shit has been a process. It's playing with my conscience. That I'm laying here with someone else. Feel like I'm by myself. Thinking in my mind won't rest. Wanna text my ex? I'm just seeing what's up with you. What's going on? Who's fucking with you? Whose time you're on? Thinking what's up with you? What's going on? Who's fucking with you? Where we go wrong? Who told you it's okay to not call me right now? Who told you you should be at these parties right now? I know you're only. Yo, that is Division, spelled DVSN, featuring Jagged Edge. When I tell you I've been listening to that song nonstop for a week, oh man, I heard it on Facebook, on Instagram, and hey, stop that. I heard it on Instagram. And I haven't been able to stop listening. That is some 90s shit if I ever heard it. Whew. I love it, man. It's featuring Jagged Edge, too. Jagged Edge, they participate on the song. But, yeah, check that song out, man. That's my joint, man. I love it, man. Every once in a while, there's a song that comes around that I can't get tired of. Usher, There Goes My Baby was that way for me. Jasmine Sullivan, Let It Burn was that way for me. What else? And a few other songs, man. Just that every once in a while when it comes around when you hear it, it's like, oh man, I can't get enough of this song. So shout out to Division. I think that's a Drake artist. But anyway, yeah, nigga, I played a song. So what? Listen, man. This is hurting me, man. Y'all really stop listening. I'm confused. I don't. Cause you got to listen to the people, right? the people talk with their listens, but I'm just like, yo, how did so many people just fall off and stop listening? Look, man, I'm offended. I'm confused. I'm baffled. I don't know. But still I rise, goddammit. I'm gonna keep it going. Let's see, they got the Jeffrey Dahmer situation on Netflix. And a lot of people, I mean, I can understand. Like, I had a friend to post something, one of the memes. And she hit me. She was like, yo, how does this look? Is this okay? And I was just like, well, and it was like on one of her, like a fan page for something that she does, like an app, you know. And she was like, I was like, yeah. I was like, well, imagine one of his family members was a fan of yours, you know, and saw this and how they would probably feel. Because it was the meme where it was like, oh, you thought I was feeling you? That nigga's lunch. And I was like, oh my gosh. Brilliant joke, but just, you know. And listen, man, I mean, on one hand, yeah, it was 30 years ago, but it doesn't stop anybody, you know, from still hurting, right? Matter of fact, I think there was I'm pretty sure at the time I remember hearing it in my grandmother's church that there was a woman who attended that church who had a son who was one of the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it's wild. Life Jennings came out with a comment a couple days ago talking about, saying that he was locked up at the same time with Jeffrey Dahmer, and Jeffrey Dahmer would hear him singing. Jeffrey Dahmer asked him to sing Pretty Brown Eyes, you know, Breaking My Heart. And I was like, wow, that's wild. You know. But, you know, the wild part about it is he was preying on black men, mostly gay black men, you know. And I saw another, it wasn't a meme, but it was somebody had posted on Twitter who said, my stepfather used to, hold on, I'm gonna tell you exactly what he said. But when I saw it, I was like, man, this is some wild shit. Cause he said it and then he found his old tweet where he kind of tweeted it before. And yeah, so hold on. Hey. So he said, my stepfather. My stepfather used to rob gay men, used to go to the gay bar and rob gay men. And he said one day, a white boy asked him, did he want a drink? And it made him feel so weird that he never returned to that bar again. And that guy ended up being Jeffrey Dahmer. It was wild because he tweeted it. And then he went and found his old tweet. He was like, I knew I had tweeted this before, where he was, you know, kind of saying the same thing. So all these stories around Dahmer, some people seem to think that, oh, you're glorifying. I'm like, wait a minute. They're talking about somebody. They're showing the, it's not like they didn't show the murder. I haven't finished watching. I watched the first episode. The first episode was intense. I'm not going to lie. It was creepy. It was everything you think it would be. But, you know, Ryan Murphy. He does what he does, man. He's the one that did the OJ thing. Then he did, you know, the Versace. I didn't watch the Versace. I didn't watch the Clinton. But I still plan to watch the Clinton one. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. A year later. Because at first it wasn't on TV. You know, it wasn't on, like, streaming services. So I was like, all right, well, can't watch it. Now. It's out of sight, out of mind. But, yeah, people tend to think it's exploiting or it's gaining off people's trauma. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I guess it's kind of hard to argue part of it, but it is such a historical event. And in this world where content is king, it's like, you know, that kind of stuff is going to be made into, into content, you know. And this is the third or fourth. I know there were two other Dahmer movies, One, Jeremy Renner was in one of them. And then there was one called My Friend Dahmer. Then this is the third one. This is the third or the fourth one. So, and then, you know, countless documentaries, news stories, and what have you. But yeah, man, the and Dahmer got it just like he gave it, man. He somebody, I think the rumor was, or I don't know if it was straight rumor, but my guy was telling me, like, I knew that the guy had, you know, killed, who killed Dahmer did it intentionally, like he sought Dahmer out. But apparently it was another guy in there that he killed as well, because, and he targeted both of them, one, because he was already doing life, and two, and y'all can look this up and find out if it's true or not, but the other, you know, the other reason was because the two men, Dahmer and the other man that he killed, had, were in jail because they were seeking out black bodies and harming them and killing them, right? So he was just like, oh, this is on behalf of, you know what I mean? So, you know, although we don't want anybody going around killing people, you gotta respect that. You gotta respect that. So, shout out to dude. And yeah, man. So anyway, let's see. Joe Budden in the news. Joe Budden, who, I don't know. You can tell when somebody's, you know, a little toxic, right? Is toxic the right word that I want to use? I don't know if it's toxic. But I think, yeah, I mean, you could tell when someone's ego is bigger than the truth. Sometimes you can feel that with him, where, you know, where he's arguing with some of the people on this great podcast, by the way. You know, I I've listened to enough. First of all, I just started listening to whole episodes, like not even a month ago. I used to just look at the clips, and I stopped for a while once that whole thing when Rory Maul went down. Cause although I don't know all the sides, you can listen to him talk long enough that you can kind of get the gist of what probably happened. You know, what he does is kind of brilliant. Sometimes what he does is, he'll create an argument that I don't even think he all the time believes, but he'll do it for the sake of discussion on the show. And you know, sometimes when he's backed into a corner, he'll just be like, oh, well, you know, all of this is under the guise of podding, right? We're doing podcasts, we're making content. So this is what I'm doing. I don't necessarily believe any of this shit, which is, you know, which is interesting. It's kind of interesting if you really think about it. It's a slippery slope, to say the least. You know, yeah. Anyway, because you know different types of people, right? You know, you can find different types of people and the people that you know and come across. So, but anyway, there has been recently, there was an episode, and I haven't heard this episode yet, but he talked about a time where he used to, and he doesn't like brag on it, and he's laughing, but he's just telling the story, right? And all the guys around him are like, yo, you wild. And he was like, yeah, that was me. That was my toxic self back then. But what he talked about was having acted like he was putting on a condom and then not doing it, right? Which obviously is bogus. But I guess I don't know if they've pulled the episode, but I'm just like, man, listen, man. And I'm not one to be like, oh, the woke police, the cancel culture. But yo, this shit has to stop somewhere. Cause just like I said, we have to listen to context around it, man. Like, if you listen to that, you can't, I don't think you can get from it that he didn't know that that was wrong. Right? It's like, so when you have, when you listen for that, you there at some point in time, people who are outraged have to, you have to listen to the context of a thing and realize that, oh, okay, he knows that this shit was wrong. Everybody on the show acknowledged it was wrong, or at the very least laughed in a sense, in a state of disbelief at the fact that he used to do it. And used to is the key word, right? It's like, come on, man. Come on. Otherwise, we just going to keep going down the road and just plucking people off based on some shit that they did that they know was fucked up. That they admit was wrong. It's like, man, what are we doing, man? We got to stop. We got to start being outraged by the right shit. You know, and this one just feels dirty, man. So look up that situation when you get a chance, man. It's fascinating. Just to see, you know, how different. Listen, man, a lot of this anger is performative. It's just performative. And I understand that in society that we need to right a lot of the wrongs. And sometimes, and I mentioned something like this last time, sometimes things get caught up under the, you know, some people get caught up in that. You know, and but I still don't think it's, you know, you still have to, it's like what's right is right, right? Because even if we have to overwrite this wrong, we have to go overboard to write this wrong, we still have to acknowledge the people who get caught up under there in the name of, you know, trying to write this wrong, who get caught up under there, who get ousted and their job threatened and their livelihood taken away. Because somebody went overboard. Somebody was a little too overzealous in their performative rage. I hope any of that made sense, because I lost my way. I knew what I wanted to say, but I wasn't doing the best trying to say it. So yeah. So check yourself, y'all. Chiggity. Rachel Nichols was on All the Smoke today. And you know, Rachel Nichols was an NBA jump off. She had been working for 25 years. She was a trusted face name in ESPN, you know, worked at the Washington Post, came out and you know, did an interview with Kobe back way back when. Did interviews with everybody, but there was an unfortunate situation where, okay, so Rachel Nichols, and keep in mind this was during the uprising, right? So Rachel Nichols had signed a contract where they had promised her certain things, right? In her contract. So what happens when George Floyd was murdered by the police? Mercilessly on camera, you know, and all the companies started to scramble. What can we do to help to basically fall in line and act like we care about Black people? So ESPN was going to offer Maria Taylor, a Black woman, something that they had that was already in the contract of Rachel Nichols. So Rachel Nichols on a hot mic. Rachel Nichols also says that she was, you know, spied on by ESPN, and that, you know, she was in her room. It was a hot mic. She was in her room, like she was in a hotel room, just, you know, putting stuff away, just preparing. It was a new hotel room. And then once she got on the phone talking to someone, they recorded all of it because there was some kind of app that was left on, and she said somebody sat on this information for a whole year. So she was caught on the phone saying something that felt like it was racially charged, but basically she was just saying, hey, Maria Taylor is wonderful at her job. But if ESPN wants to right their wrongs, they can give, they can't take my, they what they already promised me in my contract. They can give Maria Taylor something else. And I think at the time, it seemed like one of these gotcha moments because, it was the racial climate was crazy, right? And it felt like at the time when you heard it, without knowing the context, like, oh man, Rachel Nichols. It felt like that thing that as black people, we always wait for with white people. It's like, oh man, I know a white person was going white after a while. But in this instance, it was not that. And like she was, something else Rachel Nichols was saying, she was like, listen, why did that thing have to come down between me and another woman? Why was it just down between two women? They wouldn't go to, the number one man in that position and then ask him to step aside after they've already, right? So now they make the women fight. And that was the unfortunate part because ESPN has a sucky track record when it comes to women and minorities. They made it seem like it was a Maria Taylor and Rachel Nichols problem when it was really an ESPN and women problem. And, she got on, and if you remember back then, Steven Jackson, Stack, and Matt Barnes, they got out there and they, they talked up for her. So did a few other people because people love Rachel Nichols, man. Like, even like, I miss Rachel Nichols on there. I mean, everybody, you could tell when she has a rapport with all the players and all the people that come on, you could just tell. And I hate that it worked out like that because Maria Taylor ends up leaving, going to NBC. And now Rachel Nichols left. And I think now she's going to be with Showtime. And I hate that though, man. You know what I'm saying? It was, she had been working that job for 20, well, she had been in that field for 25 years and she had earned what she had gotten, but then, and she says she regrets that she brought Maria Taylor's name up, and she tried to reach out and speak to Maria Taylor. Maria Taylor didn't want to speak to her, but the wild thing about it is at the time, man, I did not even know who Maria Taylor was. Like, I really didn't. I didn't know who. I knew Chinee Agwuamah. What was her name? Agwuamah-Ko? Chinee. She plays for WNBA. Her and her sister, actually. Her sister was on the shot with LeBron and them. But I remember her because she was, I've seen her play, but also she was on, like, Jalen and Jacoby's podcast. But I did not know who Maria Taylor was at the time. All I knew was Rachel Nichols. So ESPN, instead of, righting their wrong the right way, they scrambled and it was like, oh, I know we already offered this to you, Rachel Nichols, but we're going to give it to this black woman because we're trying to act like we, care about black people here at Disney. And so Rachel Nichols was like, nah, you can get her something else. Don't give her my shit. I think it was the NBA Finals is what they offered Maria Taylor when they had, it was already in Rachel Nichols' contract that she would get the NBA final because that was a big thing, to be covering the sideline of the finals. So anyway, now they lost too. Now they got, Malika Andrews, Janae Aguamake, I think that's her name. Yeah. And, I already told you about that, debacle with Malika Andrews. But despite all of that, and she kind of came for Kobe once, and I ain't like that shit. It's like sometimes the 25-year-oldness shows up. Like, right? Like there was a time she was trying to argue some stuff about with NBA players, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, and somebody else, and they were just trying to tell her, hey, we played, and you can call it mansplaining if you want, but they were saying, hey, we've been playing basketball And Richard Jefferson asked everybody in the panel, hey, when's the first time that you dunked the ball? And most of them said around 13 or 14. And he was like, listen, he was like, right? So now you know what it takes and you know what it looks like when you're taking off or when somebody's taking off after you, right? So just to prove a point, because she was steadfast in trying to tell them, oh, you don't know what somebody's intention was. It was like, wait, we've been playing. We all got over a thousand basketball games played. Like, we can be a authority on this, you know. So sometimes, and perhaps that was just a youthful mistake, right? She's ambitious. She's young. And I think she's 27 now, but I'm saying she was 25 when she first got on. And now she has her sister in there. I forgot her sister's name. That's a nice little banter sometime. And Ramona Shelbourne and all of them, man. And listen, as a guy, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I'll be watching and I'll be like, and just subconsciously I'll be thinking, man, why are all these women on the show talking basketball? Like, I'm just being honest. But then I realized, like, oh, these are professionals and they know what the hell they're doing, you know. But with this change has come on over the last 2 years. And listen, you know, you were used to watching Jackie McMullen on, you know, Around the Horn here. And, you know, she's back in Larry Bird days or even Ramona Shelbourne, Rachel Nichols. You were used to those. You were used to your old faithfuls. But I think in the last 2 years, ESPN has really tried to right their wrongs and they've brought on a slew of women. And every once in a while, you kind of jolt out of it and be like, wow, this is, they've really made a switch and a change. So, but you know, peace to Maria Taylor and Rachel Nichols. And it is fascinating to see the landscape change, man. And, you know, so that's about it, good people. I wanted to come on and talk to you for a little bit. Listen, man, you know, I want you back. You know, I want you back, listeners. You feel me? I want you back. I don't even... Ain't no equivocate. Like, I just don't want it to be no, I want you back. You know? And I don't know what I got to do to get you back, but I'm going to try. You know? I mean, I think it's unfair that y'all gone in the first place. But it's my fault. I drove y'all away. I put out a product. And y'all rejected the product. Right? And the market is the market. The market's going to speak to you. But for now, this is what I want to say to you. Hey, listen to the strings. Come on. I want you back. That's it. I'm gonna go, man. Hey, so for those of y'all still listening, hey, thanks for rocking with me. You know what I mean? I can see the analytics. I see y'all. Thanks for still rocking with me. Thanks for sticking in there, you know. I still ain't heard no feedback, but it's cool. Y'all who still rocking with me, I appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah, that's it. Yo, if you got dreams, you need to find a roadmap between what you say your dreams are. Hey, you can hear that. Somebody bumping at Nipsey outside my window. It's Hollywood. Somebody on a motorcycle and shit. The motorcycle, yo, motorcycles be having the best sound system. Like, God damn. But yeah, man, find a roadmap between what you say your dreams are and the actual execution. Because without that, they'll just be floating over there and you won't realize why you aren't gaining any traction. You have to figure out the actionable steps that get you toward what you want to do. And you have to work diligently toward that. You know, some blunders, some missteps are going to happen. But, you know, keep it moving, right? And close the gap time between when you fall off the horse and when you get back on it. And make that time shorter and shorter. And that's how you get there, okay? Love y'all. You know what I mean? And I appreciate you. And let's get it. Till next week.